our Bible and go to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. We're going to start in Proverbs 23, and we're going to look at many verses in Proverbs this morning. With it being Mother's Day, I want to focus on what children need. Proverbs 23, that's page 704 in your pew Bible, 704. Does anybody need a handout? Would you lift your hand up if you need a message handout? Anybody? I don't see any hands. I think we got it. Okay, a couple over here. Proverbs 23. You know, a lot of you can relate to what I'm about to say. It's the dream of many couples to have a child. It's a dream. Man, we want to have kids. And when parents find out that they're pregnant, or they find out they're going to receive a child through adoption, their heart is just thrilled. Unfortunately, for many parents, what started out as a dream come true has turned into a nightmare. And in your handout, it says children should bring joy and gladness to parents. That's God's design. Children are supposed to bring joy and gladness to our life. Proverbs 23, 24 and 25. Proverbs 23, 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have what? Joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be, say it with me, glad, and she that bare thee shall, that's God's design right there. God wants children to bring joy and gladness and rejoicing to our hearts. But in your handout it says the truth is, many times they bring unspeakable grief, shame, and reproach. Look at Proverbs 19, if you'll turn back to chapter 19. We're going to be flipping around, but all of it's going to be in Proverbs. So have your Bible ready. Proverbs 19, 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. I was thinking about, many of you may have seen in the paper recently about the teenagers right here in Daytona that went out and brutally killed a homeless man. Did you read about that? How many of you read about that? Okay. About four or five teenagers went out and just for kicks, they beat a man to death. He was begging for his life, and they were laughing, beating the guy until he died. Now, here's my point. These are teenagers, okay? No parent, when they're holding their little newborn child that either they've bore it or they've adopted it, nobody looks at their newborn baby and plans that for their child. Okay, nobody. Nobody in here plans that for their kid. Nobody looks at their little innocent newborn baby and says, you know, my plan is he's going to grow up and when he's a teenager he's going to go out and brutally kill a homeless man in the woods. Nobody plans that. Nobody expects that. Nobody wants that. But it happens. And maybe not to that degree, but yet teenagers end up, you know, growing up and doing all kinds of things, and the parents, when they were holding that little baby in their arms, never planned on that, never wanted that. How do we prevent those kind of things from happening? What's the Bible have to say about raising children? Are there specific God-ordained principles that parents should be implementing? And the answer is an affirmative yes. God doesn't leave us in the dark when it comes to this thing of child rearing. And here in the book of Proverbs, God shows us clearly what children need if they're going to be a source of joy and gladness and rejoicing to our heart. He tells us exactly what they need. Number one, in your handout, they need training. I want you to go to Proverbs 22. Please turn over to Proverbs 22. And let's look at verse 6. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child. In fact, let's say it together. Ready? Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In your handout, it says training. That word training indicates that you have a plan. You have a plan. You have an active and positive goal. God wants the Christian parent to be proactive, not reactive. Too many parents are reactive. They react to their children's disobedience, or they react when their kid gets in trouble at school, or they react when they find out their kid is taking drugs, or they react when they find out they're hanging out with the wrong group. And they're always reacting to their children. Imagine a football team and the players come up to the coach and they say, "Coach, what's the game plan for the game this weekend?" And the coach says, "Well, you know what? We really don't have a game plan this week. We're just going to kind of go out and react to what the other team does." You think that team's going to win many games? Yes or no? No, you got a game plan. Parents, you got to have a game plan. Many parents have no real strategy. They have no well-defined goal in the training of their children. They're just trying to keep them from getting into trouble. Their goal is to survive. You know, it's survival mode until they're 18. You know, let's just try to keep them from getting in too deep of trouble. How sad. That's sad. That's no kind of a game plan or a strategy or a goal. God wants us to be proactive. He wants us to train them in the way they should go. In your handout, it says the goal of Christian parents. Here's what it ought to be. It ought to be that your children grow up to be godly, not just good. How many times have I heard parents say to me, their kids are already grown, and I can't tell you how many times I've had parents tell me, "Well, yeah, my son, he's not in church, and he's not really showing any interest at all in the things of God, but he's a good boy deep down. He's a good boy. He works hard. He provides for his family. And you know what? He's a good guy deep down. She's a good girl. She doesn't love the Lord, and she's not close to the Lord, and she's not into... But boy, she's a good girl down deep." Our goal is not to raise good kids. It's to raise godly kids. And what does the word godly mean? Godly, you remember? I've given you this definition. I think it's the third time this year. Godly means that you have a love for the Lord, and that love spills forth as a desire to want to walk in His will. So if I raise up a godly son, that means he grows up to love Jesus with all of his heart. And it means that because he loves the Lord, he really wants to do God's will for his life. He wants to walk with Christ. He wants to walk in His will. Verse 26 says there, train up a child in the what? The way he should go. That means a life. That means a road. In other words, we are proactively training our children to follow a definite course. Barna Research found this out, and I'm going to quote from Barna. "More often than not," listen to this quote now. By the way, some of you in here, you don't have kids, and so you're kind of in the coast mode right now. You're like, "Man, I don't have kids. Man, this message doesn't apply to me. Sick them, preacher. Get them." Listen, if you don't have kids, you may have grandkids, you may have someone that needs this message. You may be able to share this principle with somebody else, so listen closely. Barna said, "More often than not, what a person decides about truth, sin, forgiveness, and eternal consequences during the preteen years," preteen, childhood, "is the same perspective that that person carries to the grave." That's a mouthful. What they found in their research, what a person decides about truth and about God and about sin and all that, in childhood, that's usually the same perspective they take with them to the grave. Parents, when we talk about this thing of training your children, having a proactive plan that they turn out godly and love the Lord, how do violent video games fit into your plan of training? Just thought I'd ask. How do violent video games, how does the kid sitting there for hours on end in front of a monitor playing a video, how does that fit into your plan? Just asking. How does the music that you let them drag into the home and listen to, how's that fit into your plan that they turn out godly? How does the movies that you let them go to, the movies that you let them watch at home, the television programs that you let them put into their mind, the friends that they hang around, the magazines that they read, How does that fit into your program of godly training? Are these things encouraging them and helping them to follow that godly course that you want them to take or not? Just asking the question. You have to answer it. Train up a child. They need training. This is the road. This is the way that you need to go. And you proactively have a plan to train them to follow the Lord. And anything that's not going to help in that, out it goes. Number two, since it's good and quiet, I'll give you the second point. Number two is correction. Children need not only training, they need correction according to God's Word. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 15. Just stay in the same chapter and look down at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What's bound in the heart of a child? Foolishness. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. According to the Bible, in your handout, it says, according to the Bible, there is something within every child's heart that a parent needs to reach and drive out. There's something that a parent needs to reach and drive out. In one accord, let's say what that is. What is it? Foolishness. That word foolishness means deceptiveness. It means trickery. It means deceit. That's what's bound in your child's heart. Oh, whoa, hold on, preacher. My kid doesn't lie. See, they've already deceived you. They've already tricked you into believing that they never lie. No, the Bible says that word foolishness, by the way, is a variant of the word folly, which means thick-headed. Now, granted, some kids are more thick-headed than others. But the point is, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How do you drive the foolishness out? In your handout, it says, the rod of correction. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about spanking them. In love. I'm talking about spanking them in love. God has created a place. For a child to be spanked where no bones can be broken and no damage done, but it'll sting like the dickens and it will correct disobedience. Parents, listen to me. If it's done prayerfully, lovingly, consistently, and with the parent in total control, do you know what the result is? Your child will grow in their love and in their respect for you. If they don't respect you, mark it down. When they grow up, they're not going to have that respect for God. They are to love and respect you. And when it's done properly, you will bond with that child in ways that you could have never thought. There's never been a time when I've had to discipline my children that they haven't hugged me and said, Daddy, I love you. It just bonds us. And man, they want to be my buddy, you know, then the rest of the day. It bonds us together. God said the rod of correction drives foolishness from children. You know, how many of you ever heard this when you were growing up? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. You know, I always thought that was a corny one-liner until I became a parent. And when I became a parent, I found out it was true. And kids sense when it's done with a broken heart. They sense that. They respond to that. Kids that aren't corrected become brats. You like how just straightforward I'm talking today? This ain't hard to understand, is it? Kids that aren't corrected become brats. And you know what? When you see a brat, it's not the parents, it's not the kid's fault, it's the parents' fault. It's the parents' fault. And they reap the consequences. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 11. Turn over there real quickly. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Man, is this not a true verse? Look at Proverbs 30, 11. It says, there is, Proverbs 30, 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Whew. Think about that one. You know what that is? That is a picture of a child that was never corrected. Oh, maybe they were warned. Maybe they were yelled at. Maybe they were hollered at. But they weren't biblically corrected. And because they weren't biblically corrected, what that verse is saying, they grow up basically to spit in their parents' face. They curse their father and doth not bless their mother. Those cute little innocent babies will quickly become monsters if you do not correct them the Bible way. Do not listen to the humanists. Do not listen to the philosophers of our day. They will lead you astray. Their worldly wisdom is always changing. Now we find out Dr. Spock was all wrong. But wait a minute, 30 years from now he'll be right again, according to the world. The world's philosophy on child rearing is always changing. So you know what my advice is, parents? Stick with what God has said in His Word. Stick with this book and you will not go wrong. The Bible says kids need training. The Bible says kids need correction. Number three, they need direction. Number three, they need direction. And that's a misprint in the handout. It's correct in my notes, but it's not correct on your handout, and I apologize. Can you please change that reference to Proverbs 29:15? And then turn there with me. Proverbs 29, verse 15. They need direction. Proverbs 29, verse 15. It says there in verse 15, the rod and reproof give what? Wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. By the way, kids can be left to themselves while the parents are still in the same house. That doesn't mean that you leave your kid alone at home. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. In other words, you let the TV babysit them, you let the video game babysit them, you know, you just let them go in their room, close the door with, you know, cable TV and video games and DVD player and all that. You leave them all that stuff at their disposal and just leave them to themselves. Let them close the door. Bible says a child left himself, bringing his mother to shame. You see, it's not enough. Our goal as parents doesn't stop with driving out the foolishness. We correct them and we drive out the foolishness by correcting them when they need it. Not just negotiating with them. It tickles me. You know, you see parents in the store and you see them in Walmart and so forth, and they negotiate with them, and the kid wants candy. Well, if you'll just quit crying, when we get home, I'll give you a treat. And you're going to negotiate with them. And then, you know, you look over there 5 minutes later and the kid's got his candy that he was begging for. You know, when you warn repeatedly and you negotiate, you don't drive out the foolishness. But correction drives out the foolishness. But then here's the thing, in your handout, it says that our goal as parents doesn't stop with driving out the foolishness, we want to replace it with wisdom. We want to replace the foolishness with what? Wisdom. The Bible talks about giving wisdom to our kids. Listen, I've got a huge flower bed in my front yard, and man, what a thorn in the flesh that thing was. We don't have green thumbs, my wife and I, and we're not real good at growing flowers. So it seemed like all the time we were replanting flowers because we never could get them to grow. And finally, we just decided we're ripping everything out. We took all the bushes out. We took all the flowers out. We ripped everything out to where there was nothing but soil. And when we got it all out, we looked at it and thought, it looks better already. But you know what? It wasn't enough to rip everything out. We had to replace it with something else. We had to replace it with some sod and then a little tree in there. We had to replace it. It's not enough to just drive out the foolishness. We want to replace it with wisdom in our kids' lives. Listen to this from Barna Research. He found out only 3% of the nation's 13-year-olds have a biblical worldview. 3%. That serves as their foundation for decision-making. 75% of 13-year-olds do not believe the devil really exists. 75% falsely believe you can earn heaven by doing enough good works. Of course, we know it's by the grace of Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. Over 50% of 13-year-olds believe there are no absolute standards for morals and ethics. Over 50% of 13-year-olds in this country believe that Jesus committed sins when He walked on the earth. You see, the rod of correction will drive out the foolishness, but then we want to instill wisdom in our children. In your handout, it says that kids need clear direction. Kids need clear direction. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. Will you please turn back to Proverbs chapter 1? Look what it says here. Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know what that tells me right there? Kids need instruction and they need boundaries. They need boundaries. Kids need to know that there are consequences when they cross those boundaries. One day my son Caleb was dancing around in the kitchen, and he had on a little hat or something, and he was just a dancing around, and I was ironing a shirt, you know, for Sunday, and he was just a dancing around. He was having a big time, and then all of a sudden he kind of went like this, and he went like that, and he kissed my hot iron, just, and his nose and his mouth were just all scarred up, you know, and all they had scabs all over him. It was so sad. I just felt so bad for him. I just hugged him. I said, I'm so sorry. Oh, I just felt so terrible for him. Just seeing that burn, and he cried, and he cried, and he cried. But I guarantee you one thing, he learned to never do that again. He learned to respect a hot iron, let me tell you. He'll never do that again. You know what? Just like he learned the boundaries of irons, you know what? There's a lot of hot irons out there that want to scorch our children. They've got to know what the boundaries are. Kids need boundaries. I'm the parent. You're the kid. This is the boundary. We don't bring those kind of games in our house. We just don't do that. There's a boundary set. I just had a guy up at Trinity, the dean up there, Brother Mike Grover, was telling me he had to sit down with his, he's got two teenagers and then two little ones. He sat down with the whole family. And he said, okay, we're going to have a talk about music. These are the boundaries that our family set for music. Here's the boundaries. Now, you're going to respect those boundaries. Kids need boundaries. They need to know there's consequences when they cross those boundaries. That will impart wisdom to them for the rest of their life. And then let me give you the last thing there. Number four, kids need instruction. Proverbs 31, if you'll turn over, we're in the first chapter. Let's go to the last chapter of Proverbs, all the way to the back of that book. Proverbs 31, this is very interesting to me right here, this verse. Proverbs 31:1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, and this is interesting here, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that, who taught him? His mother taught him. In your handout, it says God's design is that the parents be the primary source of influence and instruction in a child's life. And by the way, when you look at the four points of this message, training and correction and direction and instruction, do you know what all four of those things imply? T-I-M-E. They all imply time. You can't train and instruct and give training and correction and wisdom to your children without spending time with them. God's design is that the parents be the primary influence in the child's life. And this was shocking to me. I was reading in a book there by George Barna, the research expert, and you know what they found out? I'm going to quote directly. The moral foundations of children are generally determined by the time the individual reaches 9. By age 9, most children have their spiritual moorings in place. By age 9. I mean, it's so crucial that parents, you be the primary influence in your child's life. Nobody else, you. Don't give that away to anybody else. You be the primary influence in their life. Because believe me, there will be forces and influences competing with you, trying to instruct your child with the wisdom of this world. Look at Proverbs 19. Turn back there with me. Proverbs 19. And look what the Bible says, Proverbs 19:26. We read this earlier, but I want to read the next verse too. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. There are going to be competing forces in this world that are trying to instill in your children the wisdom of this world. And he said, this kid has wasted his father, chased away his mother, he's brought shame and he's brought reproach to his parents, and then he turns around and says, listen, kid, you need to quit listening to those who are causing you to err from the words of knowledge. There are going to be competing forces. And parents, it is our job, to provide godly instruction for our children from God's Word. Have you ever met a kid that wouldn't listen to anybody? Why? Because the parents have never taught that child how to receive instruction. And it's so crucial. Look at, what chapter are you in right now? 19? Look at 19, verse 20. It says, hear counsel and receive what? Receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. In other words, listen. There are teenagers that won't listen to anybody. They know everything. There's kids that won't listen. Man, I've coached. And when you coach, there are kids that we call coachable. They'll listen. They'll take instruction. There's other kids, they won't listen to a word you say. They know more than you. Why? Why are they that way? Because their parents never taught them how to receive instruction. They were never corrected. As we seek to instruct our kids, I want to just throw out here some practical suggestions. These are not rules. These are not laws. These are just some practical suggestions for you to pray over. Okay? And this is all I've got time to do, and we're going to pray. But I want to give you these. Number one, and I'm not going to elaborate, I'm just going to give them to you. Number one is this. Teach your child to accept and fulfill what? Responsibility. Too many irresponsible kids, and it starts in the home. Don't think they're going to get it in school. They need to get it at home. Number two, instill in your child a strong work ethic. And the next one ties right in with it. Use fun as a reward for hard work, but not a way of life. Too many kids, man, they go through life in their 20s, they grow up into adulthood, and they take the path of least resistance. We all want to take the path of least resistance. And so many children, though, because they've never been made to work, they've never been made to do what they don't want to do, they've lived their whole life on the fun principle. What's going to be fun for me? What's going to delight me? What's going to make me feel good? And the parents have encouraged that and allowed that kid goes through life irresponsible, maybe can't hold down a job, can't make it in class, Why? Because they've never been taught responsibility. They've never been taught a strong work ethic. They just think life should be just one big fun game. I'm for fun. You ask my kids, do I like fun? Can I have fun with the best of them? Hey, you better know it. But work hard, play hard. That's my philosophy. Hey, when it's time to work, let's work. And let's work hard. And let's be diligent. Let's do what we're supposed to do. And then when we're done, let's just have fun. Let's have a good time. Let's have fun. Let's have a blast. Work hard, then have fun. Number four, limit their TV and video game intake and encourage them to use their what? What's that? That means reading. I forget who it was that told me. Oh, it was a lady that she doesn't even go to church here. They don't go to church here. But yet, every night at like 8 o'clock, the kids go to their room and they read a book. That's awesome. I said, that is tremendous. They read a book. And their kids love to read. They love to read. Why? Because that's what's been taught from their parents. Reading, drawing, building something, exploring outside, you know, in the backyard, all these things. These are good for kids. Just sitting in front of a monitor, allowing that, just their mind to just be captivated with this game, that's not healthy. I'm telling you, it's not healthy. And we've yet to see the repercussions of what this is going to bring in our country. And I'm not against it. I'm not saying, get rid of it. No, I'm just saying, limit it. Be reasonable, set boundaries, and limit it. Whether you say, okay, if you do well at school this week and you work hard and you do your chores, Friday night, Saturday, we can do that. But whatever it is, set boundaries. Make them use their mind. Then the next thing there, never allow uncontrolled emotional outbursts and tantrums. You do not allow that. When it comes, you correct it. You correct that. The next thing, insist that your child, oh moms, you're going to love me for this. Insist that your child be tidy and neat. Can I hear an amen, ladies? Dads, you need to stand behind mom and help her with this. Insist. It is a shame when we can't walk in our teenagers' rooms because we're afraid that we're going to get, you know. That's just not right. That's teaching them to live their life that way. And so many girls, they go into adulthood and into marriage with not a clue how to clean a toilet. Not a clue. I'm serious. Teenage girls, not a clue how to make a bed properly, how to clean a toilet, how to wash dishes, how to vacuum, how to polish the furniture. They don't have a clue. And by the way, I think the boys should learn that stuff too. Why? Why? Because if they're going to be godly husbands, then they're going to help their wives. Amen? This is getting good, isn't it? Insist that your child be tidy and neat. Insist. You're the parent. How come parents think, oh, I can't go in my child's room. That's their territory, and I can't go in there. Who pays the bills? Who's paying the electric? Who's paying the rent? Oh, my child needs his space. No, you need to know what's in your kid's room. You need to know what's in their drawers. You need to know what's under their bed. You need to go look under their mattress. You need to look, and they need to know it's your right to look. When they're 18 and they're on their own and they're paying their own bills, they got the whole house to themselves. Until then, no. I'm the parent. You'll keep the room the way I tell you to keep this room. That's teaching them discipline. It's laying a foundation for the rest of their life. All right, next thing. Help them to establish proper priorities in life. This is so important. You know, my kid plays baseball. The coach knew right up front, Wednesday nights, if we have games at 7 o'clock, we won't be there. Why? We'll be at church. He'll be in Awana. Period. That's just the way that is. That's our priorities in our life. That's just the way our priorities are. Teach your kid to have proper priorities. And then the last thing, be an example to your child. You can't tell them one thing and do another. Be an example. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you will bless this teaching this morning, and I pray